What?
Rebbe's going to vote for Abe?
Depends how the donuts are. Okay. We left off yesterday. We talked a little bit about the matzah, a little bit about Morah, and we move into the next by the Seder of Korech. Korech is based on what the Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Pesachim. The famous machlokes in Hillel and the Rabbanan, how to perform the mitzvah of achilas korban Pesach, achilas matzah Morah, whether it's done bevasachas, whether it's done zecher zeh. So the Gemara says that we don't have a clear cut answer to that question. Therefore, what we do is a little bit of a combination of both. That even according to Hillel, who said that Bismana Mikdash, you would eat the matzah and the morah together. The Gemara says that Bismana Zeh, Hillel would agree that you can't do that, because when can you eat matzah and morah together? That's when they're both Kiraisa. So the mitzvah is not Mavatla Zuazu. Bismana Zeh, that morah is only a mitzvah derabbanan. Of course, everybody in matzah is a deraisa. So Hillel would concede that the only way to perform the mitzvah would be to eat the matzah first. So you stop. So everybody agrees you have to eat matzah first, then everybody agrees you have to eat morah. And then, if you would hold like the Rabbanon, then there's no need to do anything else. You did what you did Bizman HaMikdash also. But since, according to Hillel, Bizman HaMikdash, it was done with Asachas, therefore, as a Zeich HaMikdash Kilo, since it's Lo'id Mehuch, Salok Hillel, Lok Rabbanon, we don't have a clear consensus what the final halach is. Therefore, the Chachamim made a takona that we should eat the Karech as a Zeich HaMikdash.
Does the Gemara usually do something like go to the Chodesh? Doesn't seem it's more like a company.
Sometimes we think what it does with Dalakosas, the Gemara is not sure which ones to do a statement, which ones to do both. Sometimes the Gemara does that. So I'm not sure there's a rule across the board, but sometimes the Gemara does do that. So the bottom line is we're now left with this new Tachanus Chacham called the Zeich LeMikdash, and the Rishonim now are bothered with how come there's no bracha recited on this Korach. It has been instituted by the Chachamim as a Zeich LeMikdash. Why don't we recite a bracha? So we spoke about this earlier in the year. There's a major machlekes Rishonim what the answer to that question is. It's clear that there's no bracha. What's the beferish? There's no bracha. Why is there no bracha? So some Rishonim say the taka should have been a bracha. The bracha should have been al asher kiddushan mitzvahs v'alachilas matzah moror. But you just made the bracha. You just made alachilas matzah 10 minutes ago. You made alachilas bar 5 minutes ago. So to make another bracha is redundant. So it's not that Korech doesn't require a bracha. It has a bracha, and it was just covered by the previous bracha. So the Rishonim write, if that's the answer to the question, then it would be appropriate not to be mafsik. The same way that we've seen many, many times, when you recite a bracha, so the bracha should keep on going. Sach ben tefillah tefillah, whether or not sach ben shchita l'shchita is the same as that. We spent a lot of time, basically, these last couple of days, if you haven't noticed, it's just chazara the whole year. That was just, we're just using the Seder, just to highlight all the things we've been talking about for the last 8 months. So here the Rishonim write, that it would be appropriate not to be sach from the beginning of the alachas matzah until the end of the korech. So other Rishonim say that that's not the reason why we don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha because you don't make a bracha on things that only zeich lemikdash. But that's not true. There are things that we do recite a bracha on zeich lemikdash. Some zeich lemikdash we do. So apparently there are some we do and some we don't. So the answer to that dilemma probably is based on something that the Brisker Rav writes. It is Chidushim and Maseches Menachos. Brisker Rav highlights that there are two different types of zeich lemikdashes. There are sometimes where zeich lemikdash is just what prompted the chacham to make the takana. But the takana was a ma'isa mitzvah. Let's say lemosha by the tilas lulav. So it's very possible that because of zeich lemikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana to do the tilas lulav the whole week of Sukkot. But the name of the mitzvah is tilas lulav. The extent of the tilas lulav, what the engine that was driving force behind the takana was the notion of zeich lemikdash. But the etzem mitzvah is a mitzvah derabbanan of tilas lulav. And sometimes zeich lemikdash is gufa dekiyum, means that really what the chachamim want is not the ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah is there. We tell you to go through the motion, like the Sefer Chinuch writes, that if you want to get somebody to have a certain feeling, a certain emotion, so you tell them to undergo action. That's what the Torah gives us, ma'isa mitzvah. So the Moshe on Pesach night, we don't just sit around and contemplate Yetzias Mitzrayim. We eat matzah and morah. On the Shabbos, we don't just sit around and think about ma'isa mitzvah. We make Kiddush. We don't just Rashon. We don't just sit around and think about Yom HaDin. We blow shofar. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu built into our psyche that when you do actions, when you do things, that impacts about how a person thinks. So here the Chachamim really wanted you to have a Zeich LeMikdash. That's the key, to remember the Beis HaMikdash. So they told you, prompted you, do action X, Y, and Z to get to that point. But the action is not the Ma'is HaMitzvah. The real Ma'is HaMitzvah is the Machshav about the Mikdash. So everybody agrees that The goal of Zecher HaMikdash is to get you to think about the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, what's Gurim what? Is it that the action is just there to get you to the Machshava, but the Machshava is the real etzem in the mitzvah? Or is the Machshava, because of the significance of the Machshava, therefore we go through Chazal into the following action? That's what the Biskin Rav says, that you have to look at each Zecher HaMikdash and see. It's not necessarily agreed upon by everybody. So it could be that based on this Biskin Rav, it would make sense why some Zecher HaMikdashes we do recite a bracha and others we don't. If the Zecher HaMikdash is the machshava is the etzma mitzvah, then it makes sense not to make a bracha now. We generally do not make brachas on machshavas. We make brachas and mitzvahs on ma'aseh. We make brachas and mitzvahs on dibur shebe'ma'aseh, but we don't make brachas and mitzvahs on machshavas. That's what the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchos Pesach. But we don't recite a bracha on bittul chametz, because bittul chametz is a machshava bi'alma, bittul b'lev, according to most Rishonim. So bittul doesn't even require a dibur. So you wouldn't make a bracha shekishav mitzvah about bittul chametz. That's not a, you don't make a bracha on things that don't exist, things that are not they're not tangible, they're not a ma'isel. It's such a dibur. You wouldn't recite a bracha on that. That's probably why the Shulchan Aruch holds in Nuchas Birchas HaTorah that if a person is Mahar in different Torah, so they don't have to recite a bracha. You don't have to make a bracha in Torah if you're just thinking and learning. If you're talking and learning, then you have to make a bracha. Just be Mahar in different Torah, then you don't have to make a bracha. Not that the Shulchan Aruch meant that you're not Yetzir Tamat Torah unless you're speaking. Okay, you're talking about because the guy's sitting and thinking and learning, he's not Yetzir Tamat Torah. That's what the Gra says. The Pasuk says that Lagos means to think, to meditate, to contemplate. So, of course, a person sitting and thinking about a Tosfos, he's Yotzei Tamat Torah. It's just that it's not considered to be enough of a Maisa to warrant to trigger a bracha. So here it gets a little bit tricky. Should we recite a bracha in Kerich or not? So according to some Rishonim, you don't make a bracha in Kerich because it's Zecher HaMikdash. So they seem to be looking at Kerich as it's the Achilus Matzavar is not really important. What's really important is the Zecher HaMikdash that it conjures up. So that Zecher HaMikdash doesn't require a bracha. Whereas the other Rishonim was saying that Kerich shouldn't warrant a bracha, it's just that it's covered by the Matzah Moror, so they seem to understand that it's more of a Maisa Mitzvah with the Rabbanan, less than just a Machshava B'Yamah.
In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, did they make a bracha?
No, they didn't make a bracha, because according to the Rabbanan, they didn't do it. According to Hillel, that was the Matzah Moror. So they made a bracha on Alechis Matzah Moror. So according to some Rishonim, Korban Pesach was part of the sandwich. According to other Rishonim, it wasn't. So like some Rishonim, a matzah marom yochlu is the yochlu biyachad, only referring to the matzah maror. There's a yochlu referring to all three of them. So the question whether two things in the sandwich or three things in the sandwich, that's not clear. So it's a beferish of like some Rishonim, and it's unresolved in our Haggadahs. In the official text of the Maxwell House Haggadah, they put it into parentheses. So that became Dominican America. It's in parentheses. I tell you the honest, I never remember from year to year whether I say it or not. I don't remember from night to night whether I said it. Some years I say it one night, depending on what mood I'm in. Whatever catches me at the moment. It's not Makia, but the Yevon, you still, I'd say, you're not going to have chorus if you don't say it. The Mishnah Berurah is not even sure that he's supposed to say Zecher HaMikdash altogether. He says the Shulchan Aruch quotes this text. It doesn't say this in the Gemara to say Zecher HaMikdash. Shulchan Aruch quotes it from Yishonim. So the Mishnah Berurah is not sure whether the Shulchan Aruch meant you're actually supposed to say it, or whether the Shulchan Aruch meant that it's telling you why you're doing it. You should eat the matzah mor biyachad because of Zecher HaMikdash Gilo. So we have adopted the minhag to say it. We actually say the text Zecher HaMikdash Gilo, but the Mishnah Berurah is not sure where that text is supposed to be said. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it appears that it said before the eating of the matzah maror. So the Mishnah Berurah didn't think that was right, because that's a little bit of a hefsek. I mean, it's hard to understand why that's a hefsek. It's been yana diyoma. Why is that called a hefsek? But the Mishnah Berurah was not so happy with saying it where it appears in the Haggadah. So he writes that Luli the Mistavidi wouldn't be afraid. He would think there's a mistake in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch meant to say it afterwards. That even though it appears in Shulchan Aruch to say it before, the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks the more correct thing is to do is to say it afterwards. So yesh v'yesh. So those who follow what it says in the Haggadah say it before. Those who follow what the Mishnah Berurah's hunch is, so they say it afterwards. Either way is okay. Anyway, fine. So we finished Korach, so now we move on to Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch is the meal. You gotta eat. So your wife's gotta bring out all the good yummy food. So there's a minhag that the Rama quotes that before you begin Shulchan Aruch, so you eat some eggs. You eat some eggs. What do you eat eggs for? Am I eating eggs? So there are different reasons that are given for the eating of the egg. There are some who connect it to the Shnei Tavshilin. We said before that the Mishnah says that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so Chazal instituted to put Shnei Tavshilin on the table. They didn't have that. There was not a Mikdash, there was no egg on the table. It was the Gomer Chagiga, they needed an egg for. So in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, there was the Besara Chagiga and the Besara Pesach on the table. So Bezman HaZeh, we put two cooked dishes on the table, one Zeichel Chagiga, and one is Zeichel Korban Pesach. So this... according to some, the eating of the egg was supposed to be a zeichah of the eating of the Korban Chagiga. If that would be the case, so then maybe we should take year by year to think, is it appropriate to make a zeichah l'chagiga or not? So there were some who had a practice that Tosfos quotes an opinion that when Pesach falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos, and make a seder Mitzvah Shabbos, so for us, the first seder rarely falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos. It's going to happen next year like that. It rarely falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos. The second seder very often falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos. So Tosfos writes that whenever the seder falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos, there was one opinion that you didn't have a beitz on the table, b'chlal. You only had one tafshil. Why? Because the shnei tafshilin were there connected to Pesach and connected to Chagiga. So the Korban Chagiga wasn't Deche Shabbos. Korban Pesach is Deche Shabbos. Korban Chagiga is not Deche Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of the sixth parak of Pesachim that it was very, very rare, even in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, very, very rare that Erev Pesach would fall out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that once you had a situation where for many, many years, it was generations, there was no Korban Pesach, there was never, it just didn't happen. Erev Pesach didn't fall out on Shabbos. And one year when it actually did, so the Chachamim in that generation, Pasha didn't remember that it did. No one was around. No one remembered what happened last time. So they had a big shayla, was Nisarer, is Korban Pesach Deche Shabbos. So on the one hand, regular kabbanas yochid are not deche Shabbos. Kabbanas tzibur hakavulam zman are deche Shabbos. Korban Pesach is nishter nishter. Korban Pesach is technically a korban yochid, but it's brought together as all of Klal Yisrael, so it's almost like a shtickle korban tzibur. So the chacham shabbay sador in the stopping. The tachad din pasha, no one can remember what the din was. So sometimes you have these things that happen that doesn't happen for a long, long time, so people don't remember. Let's say, Lamasha, we have something coming up this year. The way the Haftarahs fall out this year, Achri Mosin Kedoshim. So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Megillah that the Haftarah for Kedoshim is the Haftarah of what's called Toavos Yerushalayim. It's a short Nevuah in Yecheskel that speaks very, very negatively about what was going on, the terrible Haveras, all the Gilarais, all the Geferlach abominations that were occurring in Yerushalayim at the time. So the Gemara says that it's not such a great idea to read those Pesukim. It's a Shvach Nevuah. So the Gemara tells a story. Somebody read it, and then it turns out he himself had done some. We've been involved in some tuevas. It's not such a good idea. So therefore, the way our calendar is set up, that after is almost never read, because 9 out of 10 times, so Achri Mos and Kedoshim are together. Whenever it's not a Shana Mu'beres, Achri Mos and Kedoshim are always together. Even though normally we have a minig, they always lay the second of the Haftarahs. The Ramah writes that when you have Achri Mos and Kedoshim together, the minig is to lay Achri Mos rather than laying a Kedoshim. Because if you lay Kedoshim, then you're stuck reading that Haftarah that the Gemara tries to cut down never to lay. So when you have Achri Mos and Kedoshim together, there are more rites that the minig has become in many communities to lay that. Not everyone agreed to that minig, but that's what there are more rites. That has become the standard, at least in Ashkenazi. I'm not going to ask what you guys do. But the standard in Ashkenazi communities is that we lay, when Achri Mos and Kedoshim together, we lay Achri Mos Haftarah. But when you have a Shana Mu'beres, so they're not together like this year, so what do you do? So 9 out of 10 times, even when you have a Shana Mu'beres, the Haftarah of Kedoshim gets bumped out of commission, because very often it's Rosh Chodesh Iyar, sometimes it's Mocha Chodesh, it's somehow something always works. It has everything, all strikes against it. Parshas Kedoshim's Haftarah, it's printed in the Chumash, but it's almost never said. Almost, but never quite, never. So every once every 30 years or so the Haftarah of Kedoshim makes its grandiose comeback, and we have no reason not to say it. It's Kedoshim without Achrei Mos. It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's not Mocha Chodesh. We can't come up with a good enough excuse as to why not to say it. So this was a Machlokes Nevin Hagim. When you have a situation where it's impossible to be Deiche, what are you going to do? It's there. There's no reason not to say it. So there was some minhagim that said, no, you still don't say it. And you're laying last week's Haftarah again. Last week, because Achamos Kedoshim have a lot of similarities in terms of themes. So you just repeat last week's Haftarah. Nobody paid attention. Last week, nobody paid attention. This week, no one's going to notice they're laying the same Haftarah. Well, that's what some say. And others say, no, that when all else fails and it's impossible to lay anything else, you got to just lay Kedoshim quickly and just hope for the best. So that's what the others have. So there are different Menhagim and Klal Yisrael about this. So I remember this has not happened. How many years, Mr. Polter? What? It's about 30 years ago, right? Give or take? Hmm? It was about 30 years since it happened last, I think.
Less than that.
Somewhere between 25 and 30 years. Somewhere in that
all
range.
Right, sell it.
I wrote a paper on it.
You wrote a paper, give it to him. I'm sure you will. Okay.
You sell that
Haftorah. You sell Haftorah, yeah.
Sell
said money. Haftorah, a lot of money for sure.
Average is 116
years. It's more, no, it's 116 years. It hasn't been.
Average
has not been in 16 years because we haven't had it yet in our shul. Our shul's already 19. It's the 19th year of the shul. We have not had it yet in our shul. So I remember the last time we had it, I was in YU. I still lived in the Heights. So we moved out of the Heights about 25 years ago. So it's over between 25, give or take, years ago. So I remember when I was I think I was already married at the time. So it was Pashas Kedoshim. We were getting ready to say after and weren't sure what we were going to do. So I remember the Gabi at the time, a little kid, a 20-year-old kid, he claps on the table and he says that when this Haftarah falls, I think Rosh Hashanah was away for Shabbos. So this kid gets up and he announces, he says that when Shabbos Kedoshim falls out this way, the meeting of the yeshiva is to do such and such. That's what he announced. So there was an older man at the time, he used to daven, one of the Malabatim, he passed away long since then, but he used to daven, remember, in the front of the Beis Medrash. So he turns in the middle of davening, he announces, he says, excuse me, he said, last time this happened, you were not even born. And he said, and you weren't here. And I'm the only one in the room who was here. And the minig in the yeshiva was, we did the other way. So don't tell me what the minig in the yeshiva was. So nobody, so I have no idea. I don't remember which was which. So we were trying to figure out what we're going to do. So I asked my gavva, I said, he said he has no idea. He doesn't remember what in the world anyone did in 30 years ago. So we'll have to figure out what we'll do between now and then.
Well, obviously,
yeah, it's a funny kind of a thing. I mean, because it is the most thematically the most appropriate after for Kedoshim, but we just don't like it, so we don't want to say it. The Gemara frowns upon saying it, so it's a very strange thing. Very strange. The Haftarahs, by and large, were not like written in stone. Like most of the Haftarahs are Chazal would have a misake, and you have to say this Haftarah for this parasha. The Takon of Haftarah was you have to say something in the Novi that's connected in some loose way to something in the parasha. A few Haftarahs Chazal say you have to say like they're misake in these Haftarahs of you know X, Y, and Z. Certain Haftarahs are mentioned explicitly by Chazal. Most Haftarahs are not. That's specific. The Takhara was. It has to be something connected. That's why you have different minhagim. You have Nuschaz, the Sfar, the Tevanim. We have a lot of different Haftarahs for different Shabbosos. It has to just have some kind of a loose connection to the Parsha. Anyway, back to the story. So you see that when things don't happen in a long time, people get confused. They forget. So too over here, the Gemara says that the Chachmei Ador didn't remember when the Korban Pesach was the Cheshavis. So the Gemara says that Hillel was a young man. Nobody had any idea who he was. Hillel was originally from Bavel. He was learning in Hillel Bavli. He was learning in Eretz Yisrael at the time as Yeshiva Bachar. And he told everybody that he remembers what the din is, not because he was necessarily there, but he said he had a tradition from his Rebbeim, from Shmai Avtalion, that the din is the Korban Pesach is Deich HaShabbos. And then he showed to them, based on Pesukim, based on Gzeirah Shavuos, based on this, based on that, he gave a whole Shtickl Torah as to show you why Korban Pesach is in fact Deich HaShabbos. And the Gemara says he was right. They realized afterwards that he was right. So the Gemara says that at that time, after Hillel gave the whole, no one knew who in the world Hillel was, so they appointed him to become the Rashi. He became the Nosi. He became the head of the Klai. So all you had to do is say one Shtickl Torah, and he became the Rashi in those days. So anyway, back to the story. So Korban Pesach is Deich HaShabbos, but Korban Chagiga is not necessarily Deich HaShabbos. So that's what Tosfos quotes a practice that when the Seder falls out of Motzei Shabbos, there was no Korban Chagiga. So there is no Korban Chagiga, so what are you putting an egg on the table for? The whole minig was to put Keneged the Pesach and the Chagiga. There is no Chagiga. So therefore, it would make more sense not to put the egg on the table. So then Tosfos rejects that. Tosfos writes that another Balei Tosfos said, nah, the minig is up the old plug. The minig was not to be so 100% exact. It's got to be exactly for the Korban Chagiga. Fakir. There were some people who didn't bring Korban Chagiga altogether. The Gemara says that if you have not so many people, and you have a big, big Korban Pesach, so you can have a lot of meat to eat for the Korban Pesach. The whole goal of the Korban Chagiga we paskin was just to enable you to fill up with the Korban Chagiga, and then you'll eat the Korban Pesach at the end if it's not necessary. So you know, so there are a lot of times that you don't bring a Korban Chagiga. So Tosfos writes that the minig was to put the Tekana was to put Shnei Tavshilin, whether there was a Korban Chagiga, Nish Korban Chagiga that particular year. The Tekana was you put Shnei Tavshilin on the table. That's what our practice is. There are some who have the practice when they recite the bracha by Gal Yisrael. So the Mishnah says that the bracha, the second bracha of the coast right before you wash is Asher Gelon v'Galos of Seder Yisra'im v'Giyano Alayla Zeh Lechem Matzah Moro. That's the bracha. So then the Mishnah says that in the later generations, after the Churban, they wanted to add more to that bracha because we want to highlight that it's a wonderful event that we've occurred. Remember, we just celebrated Pesach, but we're not done. We're looking forward to the Gula Shleima. So therefore, the Chachmei Ador at the Churban, they added on, Kein Yagiyenu Hashem Elkeinu L'gol L'bachem L'sos V'smeichem V'din Shalom V'noch Hashem V'zbach V'psochem. That whole tefillah wasn't said. The Rambam writes that wasn't said. It's about Hamikdash. They were eating the Korban Pesach, but you have to daven for the next year. You're eating it now. So that additional bracha was elaborated upon. That conclusion of the bracha was elaborated upon. Bisman HaKorban. That's probably why the bracha ends up with Gaul Yisrael. In the olden days, it was a bracha kitzara. When you make a bracha, it's very short. Let's say you say Bracha Hashem Kol Shachol Nibidvaro. So you don't say Baruch Hashem Kol Kevachom Shachol Nibidvaro. Bracha Hashem. Shachol Nibidvar. You just said Shachol Nibidvar. You make a share kiddushar mitzvosim tivanu lishmo kol shofar baruch Hashem lishmo kol shofar. You just said it. The only time that you conclude a bracha with a baruch Hashem at the end is when you went on a whole tangent. When you have a langa megillah and you started saying hoshe kloli in the middle, so then you want to just make sure you get to the end. You summarize a very, very quick synopsis of what the bracha is. Let's say on the marshal when we make kiddush, so we say asher kiddushar v'shabas kodesh chaviyavar, and then you say quickly baruch Hashem kaddish Shabbos. Well, let's say Bichas Eirusin, you make a long Megillah, Shekirishar Mitzrayis, it's all a Raya, it's all a 10-minute bracha, the Kaddish HaMisom, the Chubah V'Kiddushin. So over here also, Gal Yisrael, probably Bizman HaMikdash was a very short bracha. Shekialon of Gualso, Seh Mitzrayim, Gialon Zeh, Lachom HaMatzah Mor, that's it. So it's only because we've added on Bishas HaChurban, the Tanoim added on, Kein Yagienu, another 10 minutes, then we go back to the synopsis, we summarize Bach Hashem, Gal Yisrael.
Regarding the brachas, why don't we mention
malchus
at the
chasima
of the bracha?
We never have to mention malchus. Malchus has to be in the bracha itself. So we said malchus right at the beginning. There's never malchus at the chasima of bracha. So in that long megillah of the Gal Yisrael, so we look forward to the day when we're going to eat again the korban pesach. We can eat again the korban chagiga. So we incorporate that into the bracha. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch, we should be zoichet to eat the zvachim. Zavach is the chagiga. Zavach chag pasach. Zavach comes to include the chagiga. V'noch Hashem min hazvachim min hapsachim. Why do we say zvachim before psachim? Because you eat the korban chagiga before you eat the korban pesach. So that you do it in order. So it comes the zavach first, then comes the korban pesach. So some had a question. What if you have the Seder on Motzei Shabbos? So then you're not going to have Zvachim and Pesachim. You're not going to have Chagiga first. There is no Chagiga on Motzei Shabbos. So some wanted to switch the order. They said, when the Seder is on Motzei Shabbos, you say Ben Pesachim and Ben Zvachim. Why is that? Because Zvachim includes the Chagiga Tezvav also. There's another Korban Chagiga that's going to be brought on Yontif, like any other Yontif. There's a special Chagiga that's brought on Erev Pesach. It's called Chagiga Yedalad. There's a good reason why it's called that, because it's brought on Yedalad. So there's Chagiga Yedalad and there's Chagiga Tezvav. So in a regular year, when there's Chagigas Yedalad, so then you say Ben Zvachim and Pesachim. But on the year of Erev Pesach, on Shabbos, so then you don't say Ben Zvachim and Pesachim, because you can eat the Korban Pesach first, and then the Chagigah tomorrow, which is later. So there are some who flipped the order, and there are others who said, nah, you know, the order for it, I'll flip the order. This bracha is not for this year. This bracha is for next year. Next year's Seder. What's next year's Seder going to look like? And you can't just look at the calendar and say, oh, next year, Tachas, our calendar, next year, the Seder is going to be Motzei Shabbos. That doesn't make any sense. Because if we're looking forward to Bizman HaMikdash, the whole calendar is going to be tossed out the window. We're going to go back to Kiddush HaPeri'iyah. So we have no idea when Rosh Chodesh is going to be next year. The whole tefillah, the whole bracha is Hashem, L'Asad Lavo. So all the calendars are going to be Batel Mevutel. You're going to go back to the original system, HaChadosh Lechem Rosh Chodesh. Bizman HaZeh, Nebuch, we can't do Kiddush HaChadosh the right way. HaPeri'iyah, so we do a Kiddush based on the calendar. Because Ram and the Ramban, how that works, the Raisa, what the mechanics, how of why our calendars work exactly. How do they create a Kiddush HaChadosh deraisa? They're not up the eight of a piece of Sanhedrin. That's a good question. But the Maisa works. Yontif is deraisa. Shari, Yom Kippur, Pesach, everything's deraisa, Bizman HaZeh, based on some other technical way of getting around that problem. But the Asad Lavo, that whole idea is going to be thrown out the window. The Asad Lavo, we're going to be Mekadosh HaPi HaRi'iyah again. That's what the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, that the Asad Lavo, Sveik of the Yom, is going to be much, much more chomer than it is Bizman HaZeh. today, so we know that the first Yom Tov is real Deraisa. That's a given. The first day of Yom Tov is the real Deraisa. And we still observe Yom Tov Sheni. The Gemara says in Beitza that the Amoraim from Bofel asked to send the Shaila to their colleagues in Eretz Yisrael. They asked them, now that we have we know when the Rosh Chodesh is, we have a Kviyas HaYarcha, we have a calendar, we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. So they asked the Shaila to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, does it make sense to still observe Yom Tov Sheni? So it's interesting that the Shaila was sent to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. The Chachmei Bavel didn't know how to learn. It was Rav, Shmuel, Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman, no one knew how to learn. They had to send it only to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So it could be that they felt that a question like this, which was relevant to the calendar, relevant to Kriyas Yom Tovim, so they felt that has to be determined by the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, because all of Kiddush HaChodesh is always determined by the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's the reason why they sent this particular Shaila there. So they sent the Shaila, and Shalchum Itam, the Gemara says, they gave them back an answer that you still have to keep Yom Tov Sheni. That even though the reason doesn't really apply, Afal Bichein, you still have to observe Yom Tov Sheni. So the Ran writes Masech HaSukkah that he thinks the Pshat in the Gemara is that Chazal made a takanas chachamim, that even though they could have said that a takanah doesn't apply, if they wanted to, they could have just done away with the whole Yom Tov Sheni today. But for whatever reason, they made a special formal takanas chachamim. Therefore, it's still binding. It's binding with the Rabbanan Bizman Hazeh. Others have a different pshat in that Gemara, what that Gemara means. But whatever it is, everyone agrees you have to observe Yom Tov Sheni today. I remember I was once heard two Balabatim talking, and they were like talking about the Yom Tov Sheni, and one of them was like kvetching about why we still have Yom Tov Sheni Bizman Hazeh. So one of them said, yeah, this whole Yom Tov Sheni thing doesn't make any sense. You know, we just realized that, wait a second, we know when Rosh Chodesh is, we have a set calendar anymore, so maybe someone should tell the rabbis that we should do away Yom Tov Sheni. But unbelievable. In Bergen County, 2020, someone came up with that Kavala Kacha. So the Bnei Bavel, the Amoraim Bavel, thought of the same question, and they sent the question to the Kaya, and it was already answered. He's already concludes that you have to. So we're stuck with it, we still have Yom Tov Sheni. So Chassam Sefer writes that Yom Tov Sheni for us today is not a real suffix. It's a derabbanan, it's a chumra, it's a whatever it is, but it's not a real suffix deraisa. He says that La'asad Lavo, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, so we're going to throw out all the calendars. We're going to go back to Baishir, we're going to go back to Kiddush HaPir Re'iyah, and then we're going to have a real suffix. For who? Says Chassam Sefer, even after the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Baishlishi, there'll still be a few Jews who are draining around in America, you know, draining around Europe. They're draining around for business, guys. There'll be Pesach programs in America, you know, Pesach programs in Spain, whatever, Pesach programs in the North Pole, whatever they are. So even though everybody lives in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be some people who are going to go to Chutz Laretz. So the Chassam Sefer says, those people who are going to be in Chutz Laretz, in Bizban Baishlishi, are not going to be bound by Yom Tov Sheni mid-Rabbanan. They're going to be bound by Yom Tov Sheni mid-Raisa. That's going to be a real suffix. That's going to be a real bona fide suffix. So that they're going to have to be very, very careful about. It's unclear at what point in history did this idea of having this suffix begin. So the Rambam writes that the whole period of Bais Rishon, they never had this suffix. Apparently there wasn't anybody living in Chutz Laretz. Everybody lived in Eretz Yisrael. So nobody really had any problems. And maybe in the days, even those people who may have been a little bit far away, they weren't so far away, and somebody got the message in time. So the Rambam writes that the whole idea of Yom Tov Sheni was the Schadish Rimei HaGoyla. It was the Schadish from the beginning of the Korban, when the first Jews start to find themselves in really far-flung places. So that's when Yom Tov Sheni began. So the Gaonim quoted tradition that's not true. They quoted tradition, I think, from Haigon, who says, I know that Yom Tov Sheni started back in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, so Yeshua ben Nun instructed all the people, you guys were going to live in Eretz Yisrael, so you're going to keep Yom Tov, like it says in the Chumash, and if any of you ever go on a trip somewhere, and you end up in a business trip, you end up in Chutz Laretz, so don't forget that you have to keep Yom Tov Sheni. So the Gaonim claim that there were Yechidim every once in a while, even back in the days of Bais Rishon, that we had to observe a Yom Tov Sheni. The Rambam doesn't write the way, but the Gaonim had such a practice, such a tradition. So the Chassam Sefer writes that La'asad Lavo, so it's not going to be a Chumah Midrabban anymore. It's going to be a real, real bona fide suffix, because we're not going to know when Rosh Chodesh really is. So that Chassam Sofer is a little bit striking, because the Chassam Sofer, it's not so striking. The Chassam Sofer lived in the early 1800s, so he's describing a world that has very, very low level of technology. So he said the Chassam Sofer lived before the telephone, before the telegraph, before emails, so before texts. So the Chassam Sofer was working with the assumption that if you could have a Jew sitting in Hungary, sitting in Freshburg, in the Mills of Mashiach, he's not going to have a clue when Rosh Chodesh is, so he's going to have to observe Yom Tov Sheni, Kedas Uchadim, as a real bona fide suffix. So there's a Sefer written, Sefer Yom Tov Sheni Kilchosan, it was written not so long ago, by someone who was a Talmud Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So he writes in a sefer that he asked for Shlomo Zalman, should he incorporate this statement of the Chassam Sofer into his sefer? Why? Because people are going to laugh at it a little bit. They're going to think, that was a Chassam Sofer mean? What the, we have telephones now. We have emails. You're going to get a... You'll be in all the world's chats. They're going to tell you exactly when Rosh Chodesh. Everyone's going to know before the Beis Din knows. Everyone's going to know in a second when Kiddush HaChodesh took place. So people are going to think the Chassam Sofer is silly. He's talking about a world of 200 years ago. So Shlomo Zalman writes, no, still Chassam Sofer said it, so it still has value. And then in passing, Shlomo Zalman writes, and we don't know for sure what the world's going to look like in Yemos HaMashiach, and maybe the technology won't be what it is. Shlomo Zalman wasn't addressing WhatsApps. He was talking about telephones. So he says that maybe there won't be telephones in Yemos HaMashiach. Well, we know Be'amun Shleim and what's going to look, Yemos HaMashiach is going to look like. So maybe we'll go back to some of the old style technology. So it's not sure. So maybe Chassam Sofer will be right. We'll figure out. When Mashiach will come, we'll figure out whether Chassam Sofer is right or not. So I once said this over in the Shia. So one of my Balabatim came up to them and they said that they didn't understand what Shlomo Zalman was saying. He said the Rambam writes, then in Yemos HaMashiach, the Teva is not going to change. So first of all, it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam claims that the natural order of the world is not going to change in Yemos HaMashiach. When the Psukim say that the lions and the lambs are going to lay down together, it doesn't really mean it. In the Yemos HaMashiach, you have a lion and a lamb, the lion's going to eat the lamb. What the Pasuk said in Shayo is derech moshel u'melitza. It shouldn't be taken literally. It's referring to the fact that there won't be any more wars, that everyone's going to be a peaceful coexistence. That means going to be a peaceful coexistence in humanity. The lions and the lambs are still, going to run after the lambs to eat them. But in terms of the rest of the world, so the rest of the world will actually be a peaceful place. So the UN will actually be doing something productive in Yemos HaMashiach, that there'll be a real place of shalom. There'll be a real, what it says, that's what on the motto of the UN. So anyone who wants to go bother going down to UN for whatever reason, you may want to do that. So there's a big plaque there with the motto of the UN, B'chitu Chavoisim L'Idim, no? Beating the swords into plowshares and your spears with the pruning hooks, right? B'chitu Chavoisim L'Idim, B'chaneisaseihem L'mazberos. That's a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayo. That's a description of V'hoi be'achris ha'yomim, Nachon yeharbeis Hashem b'rosh ha'horim. So the great nevuah of peace, the and level, the way the world was going to look like in the days to come, this is that's the motto of the UN, the pasuk on the UN, Shteit Beferish, V'chidu chavois al-itim. But they forgot what it says. The pasuk before says, Nachon yeharbeis Hashem b'rosh ha'horim. It says that the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Tarach, that means the Beis HaMikdash, last we checked. So the Beis HaMikdash will be Barosh Ahar, V'Nor Elof Kala Goyim. So all the Goyim will acknowledge that Kumu V'Nale Obeis Elokei Yaakov. I think that's what it says. It says Yaakov, it doesn't say other names of other people. Kumu V'Nale Obeis Elokei Yaakov, you know, Yorein Bidrachov, you know, the whole Nevuah that the UN is predicated upon is the fact that the Beis HaMikdash will be built on the Mokom, that's the Beis Elokei Yaakov. So that's the entire, that was the motto of the UN from day one. Baruch Hashem, that they're living up to their motto. Yeah, that was meant as a sarcastic.
For something
What do you mean? How could we do it?
Now that we know that it's not actually
Yom Kippur. Yeah, good. Come to the Rashba. So the Rashba writes to the Tshuva that the Chachamim felt that if we're going to tell people to put on tefillin, that's going to stare the Yom Kippur. People are going to not take Yom Kippur seriously. You tell a guy, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. I'll go put on tefillin. So, you know what he's going to say? The rabbi's joking. It's not really Yom Tov, and I'm going on my trip now, and I'm, you know, shalom. So in order to enhance Kedushas Yom Tov Sheni, Chazal wanted there to be Kedushas Yom Tov Sheni, so therefore they said, Yeshkoch Be'achom Lach HaDeveretei B'Shem V'Tas. So they were able to tell you B'Shem V'Tas that not to put on shalom. That Yitach Mevatel, Mitzvah Deraisa, the same way we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, because Chazal felt that it's in the better interest of Judaism that we should have Yom Tov Sheni. Right, so the Gemara has the same question. The Gemara says in Shabbos, how can you make brachas? Suffering brachas lahokel. So the Gemara says, you're right, Mishum Zilusud Yom Tov Sheni. Because Chazal were afraid that if we're going to tell everybody to sit down and make a second Seder, but don't make Alachilas Matzah, don't make Alachilas Mara, how many years do you think that's going to last? So the first year, everyone will take it seriously. And the next year, they say, it's like a joke. There's no bracha, there's no this. The rabbi never really meant to do it. So there's going to be Ois Seder Yom Tov Sheni. And then the next year, they're going to say, wait, we didn't make a Seder last night. It's not really Yom Tov. So we can go on a trip. So we can have the Israeli cab driver drive us. No, we could drive ourselves. Like it's not, the whole thing is a big joke. So one thing, you know, one thing is going to lead to the next. So therefore, Chazal wanted to nip the problem in the bud. So they made all the exceptions to the rule. And they're Masacha, Yom Tov Sheni, Mamish, Kedas, Chodin, like Yom Tov Rishon. They had to make one or two exceptions, but Machol Mesim, a certain Kulus V'Chayim, they had to make certain things because they didn't want to drive everybody crazy. But basically, the Chaldova, they treated Yom Tov Sheni, Lagami, like Yom Tov Rishon. The Gemara said befeirish that the reason why they made brachas was b'shul zilzul yadusheni, because if you do a mitzvah without a bracha, people don't take the mitzvah so seriously. If you make a bracha, then people take it seriously. So that's what people have pointed out, that the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Sukkah that there was one mitzvah of yadusheni that they could not make a bracha on, and that was sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Because to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you have to do that. It was befeirish based on Yisvina, and you have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because it's Yatav Sheini. But Bruch Lama Vachini, you can't make a bracha. Why? Because you just make Kiddush for Shmini Atzeres. It's the only Yatav Sheini that's going to, it's like Yatav Sheini of Shvi Shal Sukkahs. It's going to be a stira to Shmini Atzeres. So Chazal's hands were tied. So therefore, Chazal made a very, very strange formulation. The Gemara concludes, Vilchasa, Mesav Yasvinim Bruch Lama Vachinim. And Yatav Sheini of Hoshana Rab, in a sense, on the Suffolk Shvi Shal Sukkahs, you have to eat in the Sukkah, because it's a lace brayer, because it's Yatav Sheini. But Nebuchadnezzar can't make a bracha. So you see, Chazal, the hands were tied. It was a very risky formulation. And you know what happened? People were mezalzel in it. So because you don't make a bracha on it, people start to think it's not so serious. And a lot of things start to unravel. All of a sudden you have this phenomena. People are not eating the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. So if it would have been a bracha, nobody would have touched it.
So it didn't really happen to shoot for Moshe before that. If you put on the film before a loss, if you actually know that the film that you put on, you shouldn't make a bracha because you know that you don't actually need to do it. So can we find that same story by Pesach? That if you know that you actually give you some shani and you're not being mezalzel, if you don't make a bracha, then you don't even make a bracha.
So what should we do? We should have people put on tefillin without a bracha?
Didn't we say by tefillin, like Moshe says, that if you're putting it on before alos and you can put it on, if you can make a bracha, but if you know that it's you can do it anyway, and it's mutter, you can put it on without making a bracha. That's what you should do ideally. So can we say that same thing by Pesach, that if you know that you need to be mashiv the chag?
Yeah, because you are talking to the Tamidim and Ramesha, people who really come to Shir every day, and then learning kids before Chan all day, and you know, the halacha was nikfa for everybody. So we want to have a certain uniformity, so not everybody is such an unbelievable Tamil Chacham. Your average guy in the street is going to say, what did the rabbi say? The rabbi said to put on tefillin without a bracha. It is yantar, it's not yantar. People are too complicated. So you have to make something that's for the Hamon Am. So for the Hamon Am, if the greater goal is to observe conditions Yom Tov Sheni, we have to do anything and everything in our power to make sure that happens. So therefore, Chazal had to knock out tefillah, and then they had an instant brachas, because the model of having Yom Tov Sheni was so important. They felt that, for whatever reason, they felt that even Bizman Hazet, it's so important to keep up that model of Yom Tov Sheni. So therefore, we're lazy brayer. We have no choice. We have to tamper with all the other halachas in order to keep Yom Tov Sheni intact. Anyway, get back to that story. So I forgot, I was talking about the Balabas who was kvetching to me about Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he said that the Rambam holds that the Teva is not going to change. The Ravid says it is going to change. The Ravid says that the Psukim will kipshut them, and also Lavo, so the lions and the lambs are going to become best friends. But the Rambam says that's not the case. So this Balabas asked me, according to the Rambam, that the Teva is not going to change, so how can you say that technology is going to disappear? We're not going to have phones, less a level. We're not going to have emails, less a level. Isn't that a change in the Teva? So I said, no, it's not. That's not a change in the Teva. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in different generations, different times in history, gives different chokhmas to humanity. There were certain things that were known in the world of ancient Greece that were not known in the Middle Ages, not known in the Dark Ages. There are certain things that have been bestowed upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us the chokhmah to figure out how to make telephones, how to make emails, how to make WhatsApp. That's a tremendous chokhmah HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us. So there may come a time in history, maybe a minute, I have no idea. I'm not a novice, I can't tell you. But it's possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may decide that we don't need it anymore. That Baruch Hashem, we who are you calling in your Moshe Mashiach? What are you doing? The Rambam describes that all you're supposed to be doing in Moshe Mashiach is Lagos B'Tar B'Chach Masa, Torah and Mitzvah, Kedusha, bring Karbanos, and everyone's supposed to be just doing, having an unbelievable, you know, being enemies of Ashkenaz, it's a gewaldic, wonderful time. What do you need WhatsApp for? What do you need emails for? What do you need telephones for? Everyone should just sit in the basement all day, come home, talk to your wife a little bit, talk to your kids, and daven and go to sleep, and come back the next day to the basement. You know, you'll survive without all the other nonsense. You'll be back like the world was back in the 1950s. It wasn't such a terrible place. It was older. 60s? Okay, 1960s, not so bad. It wasn't so bad. So the fact that technology may be put on hold, that doesn't mean that the Teva is going to change. It's not that the Teva of emails is going to change. It's just the Kodesh Baruch Hu may remove that knowledge. This may not be necessary anymore. I have no idea. I have no clue. I'm not gonna take a guess as to whether there'll be emails of Lost in Love or not. But lu yitzui that there won't be, and communication will go back to the way it was for most of civilization. So then, I'm sorry if it's right. Then you'll have a situation where if there's a guy on a business trip somewhere, guy took a boat ride somewhere out of Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to come Yom Tov, he has no idea whether it's Yom Tov or not. So he'll have a real suffix. So getting back to the bracha of Asher Galov, that's what we got sidetracked. So by the way, today, these shiurim are just free association. There's no, we're just using the Seder as just something to tag on to it, just whatever just comes my way. So back to, like every other shiur. So back to our story, or something back to our story. So when we daven by the bracha Asher Galanu that we want the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt and we're going to bring karbanos and eat the karbanos, we're talking about next year. We have no idea what next year is going to look like. Is next year going to be an Erev Pesachas b'Shabbos? Your guess is as good as mine. So therefore, what do you mean? What are you changing the bracha for? Keep the bracha the same. Most years there's a chagiga before Karban Pesach. So the bottom line is that having the Seder on a Motzei Shabbos is a potential variable because chagiga would theoretically not be there. Does that have any relevance for us? So, according to one Dan Tosfos, yeah, we take the beitzah, toss it out off the table this year. According to others, we play around, pashka with the bracha a little bit. According to the Ramah, who's saying that the minig is to eat the eggs, according to some who say that the source of this minig is al tzeichah achilas chagiga, if a saint is a matzah shabbos, it makes sense not to eat the egg. No, the mice, that's not what our practice is. Our minig is that even when the saint is a matzah shabbos, we eat the eggs. We're not even sure if the reason feeding the eggs has anything to do with the Karban Chagiga. Could be, the Ramah quotes a different reason. Ramah writes, that's a Zeich Le'Avelos, a Zeich Le'Tishabov, because, on the Leil of the Seder, so on the one hand, we try to recreate as much as we can the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, we still say that there is no Beis HaMikdash. It happens to be that the first night of Pesach is always on the same night of the week as the night of Tishabov. So the Chazal say in the Pasuk in Eicha, Hispiani b'mrumim hilvani la'ano, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us mora to eat, and then he gave us this like rotten, bitter, bitter pill to swallow, hilvani la'ano. So the Chazal say that Hispiani b'mrumim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted us to eat mora. He wanted us to have a Beis HaMikdash, to eat mora, to have a celebration, and we were chayte, we lost the Beis HaMikdash. Now hilvani la'ano, now he gave us Nebuch and Tishbav, he gave us a Tishbav instead of the Leil HaPesach. So we try to highlight the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we make a little bit of an Avelus. So the Avelus is we eat eggs, because that's the Meichel of Avelim. Avelim by Sudas Avra, so they eat eggs. So according to that reason, it has nothing to do with the Korban Chagiga. So therefore, why should Motzei Shabbos be any different? So that's what the Ar Minig is that we eat eggs. You guys eat eggs also? I remember. I think so. Okay, so I don't know if it's a Shulchan Aruch quote. I think it's just the Ramah. But maybe the Sfaradim also have that custom. You're slowly but surely losing your authenticity as a to relate on the Sfaradim practices. So you guys kidding us?
Yeah.
You can. Okay. I was checking your yichus a little bit. Okay. So the minig is that we eat eggs. So there are some who add a kapeda that you shouldn't dip your egg in salt water. Some people do that. They dip their eggs in the salt water. And others say, no, you shouldn't dip your egg in the salt water. Why should you dip your egg in the salt water? Because it'll turn out that your manishtana was a sheker. Halayla zeshtei pa'omim. Because you said at the manishtana that you dipped twice. So I already dipped. I already dipped the karpa. And now I dipped by the maror. So I can't dip the egg into the water. So that's a lie. So others said, according to that, you can't eat salad dressing in your salad also in the Seder, because why is that shtei pa'omim? So a lot of dafka shtei pa'omim in shtei pa'omim. Shtei pa'omim means at least two pa'omim plus. So those who want to put salt water, yesh lach b'shas at chach, they can put salt water on their eggs. Those who don't want it can also be yetzi b'diavid without the salt water. Either way, it's a mini Yisrael, and many, at least in our communities, to have eggs. Are there any other halachas that govern the time of Shulchan Aruch, what one can and cannot eat at the Seder? So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, that with the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to eat the whole roasted sheep, the whole roasted lamb at the Seder. Because I was very, very worried that you have to be careful at Pesach night not to mimic the Beis HaMikdash too much. We do a lot of things to reminisce about the Beis HaMikdash, but you have to be careful to walk a fine line not to make it too close, because if it looks too close, people will think that you're actually eating Kachim B'chutz. That's a big problem. It's a curse to bring Kachim B'chutz. So we want to make sure that nobody, Chalila, thinks in Marisai they're eating Mamish Kabbanas. So therefore, to sit down and have a whole roasted lamb, Rosh HaKrovi HaKirbo, that would be inappropriate. That's also Midir Rabbanan. Then the Mishnah says that there were different minhagim. That is for sure rosser, but then there were different minhagim. What if I'm not eating a whole roasted lamb? I'm just having a piece of roast meat. I'm having a piece of roast beef. I'm having a piece of roast chicken. I'm having something which is, it's not the whole lamb. It's not even from a lamb. It's a different animal. So was that included in this problem or not? So the Mishnah says that was not an issa. That was a minhag. Some communities had the minhag to permit that, and other communities had the minhag to prohibit that. So that's what the Mishnah says. But everybody agrees that midrabbanan, you're not allowed to eat an entire lamb. That idea, you have to be very, very careful to say to not to give off any indication that you're being oichel kachem b'chutz. That's the reason why the Gemara says that when you get to the passage in Agud of Pesach, you shouldn't point to it, you shouldn't pick it up. Matzah, you pick up, the more you pick up, but the Pesach, you don't pick up the zeroah on the table, because people are going to think that it came out Mishirin Korban Pesach. And then the Gemara expands this and says that when you buy meat for Pesach, you shouldn't say, I'm going to the store to buy meat for Pesach. Say, I'm buying meat for Yontif. Because the word Pesach means, has a double meaning. It means Passover. It also means for Korban Pesach. So therefore, you have to do everything possible to avoid giving off that message that maybe people think it's kosher. That's what many Achareim write, that when we have a minig, there are more quotes, a minig in Chuspurim, to give a zech l'machtzeh shekel. We give it right before the Megillah, because the Gemara says in Megillah that b'schus of the machtzeh shekel, so the Jews were safe, and the aseret shekalim, kikar kesef, all the money that Haman HaChashverosh were bartering and negotiating, so the b'schus of the machtzeh shekel offset that. So we have a minute to give a zechel machtzeh shekel, give it to shul, give it to him, whatever we do with the zechel machtzeh shekel. So the poskim say you should be careful not to say that you're giving it alts machtzeh shekel, because it's going to give off that impression, the same concern of the Gemara Pesach, and people are going to think, you're giving machtzeh shekel, means you're machtzeh to the base of Mikdash. If you're machtzeh something to the base of Mikdash, you can't use it, you've got to be paid it, right? It's very, very complicated. So the last thing we want to do is have money and coins around that are machtzeh shekel. So we have in our shul, so we have these paper plates that somebody 15 years ago, wrote on them, machtzeh shekel. So when I saw it said machtzeh shekel on it, so I said, no, you can't do that. So he made a nice like little sticker on it said machtzeh shekel. So he said, no, it has to be zeicher machtzeh shekel. So he wrote it in pen on top, zeicher. So we have we're still using the same paper plate for 15 years. It says machtzeh shekel, and then a little thing on top, it says zeicher machtzeh shekel. And then we have another paper plate that says zecher. So we have that. So the paper plate says zecher. You have to fulfill that chumrah that it shouldn't give off the impression of eating kashrut b'chutz. Fine. So you're not supposed to eat. Not supposed to eat roast meat. There are different opinions, different arguments about what's considered to be roasted, not roasted. If it's not roasted over a fire, it's roasted in a pan. Different argument about this. Most follow the practice that it shouldn't be roasted. Whatever's called roasted, it shouldn't be. If you drown it in a lot of water, so that's not roasted. It's cooked. So it should be something that's clearly in a lot of liquid rather than just roasted in any shape or form. The Gemara tells a story in the fourth parak of Pesachim, a story that took place in Rome. The Gemara says there was an individual, his name was Tudus. He was the leader of the Jewish community in Rome. So he was a Talmid Chacham, and you get the impression he was also a political leader. So his name was Tudus Ish Romi. So there's a few statements in his name. So the Gemara says that Tudus Ish Romi, Hinnig Lechol, he started a practice of the Jews in Rome that they would eat a whole roasted animal for on Pesach Adar, Zech LeMikdash. So when the Chachamim got wind of this, the Chachamim sent him a message, that's not right, that he should stop that practice, because even though the Mishnah says that when the minig is to eat, you're allowed to eat it, that minig is only not an entire lamb. To eat an entire sheep, that would be a violation of the Chol HaDeis. So the Chacham told Tudus that he better stop that practice. Why did Tudus, of all people who said Rome, why did they start this minig? So we spoke about this last year, another time, 2 years ago, 3 years, 5 years ago. So we mentioned that we find Tudus Ish Rome, we had two statements. One, they both had to do with Pesach. One had to do with this practice that he instituted in Rome of eating the Korban Pesach, eating some of that. See, it's so like the Korban Pesach. I call it the Korban Pesach. It looks like the Korban Pesach. Then the Gemara says another statement there of Tudus Ish Romi. The Tudus Ish Romi said that we derive from the Tzvardeya, from the frogs that jumped into the fire, that you see from here that Chanani Mishav Azariah, when they were given the choice of either bowing down to the statue or being thrown into the furnace, so they chose to be thrown into the furnace, and they derived from the Tzvardeya. Madach, the Tzvardeya jumped in, Kavachemi, we should be thrown into the furnace. That's a strange, interesting drasha Tudus Ish Romi was talking about. Tosis on the spot has a classic, Tosis Misnagdish, Litvish question. The Gemara makes a whole tataram about the Chananim Shavazariah saying what Hilgit Tzadikim they were, and they derived the Musa from the Tzvardei, and they got themselves, almost got themselves killed and everything. It's a whole story. And so Taisus has a whole lumdish discussion. Was it really Avodah Zarah? Who says that decree, it could be just a statue, just of the Kavod HaMelech. It wasn't necessarily even Avodah Zarah. So Benetav, the whole Shibbol Torah about Yehorva Yavor, based on that Gemara. So the Chassidim read that Gemara, they're like blown away with Mesiris Nefesh, everything. And the Mesnag, they're trying to pimple whether it's a Din of Yehorva Yavor, whether it's not. Anyway, whatever, back to the story. So Tudus Yishromi had these two drushes. He was the one who told everyone to eat the roasted Pesach, and he was the one who told everyone to explain why Chanan Shor Zayah jumped into the fire. So it's interesting that both of these statements, we don't have too much in Shas from Tudus, I think these are the only two that I remember, but both of them have to do with ovens. They have to do, one has to do with the Korban Pesach in the oven, and the other has to do with the people and the frogs in the oven, and they both do with Pesach. They're both related to the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. So, and the other thing that caught our attention is that this man Tudus lived in Rome. So is that part of the story? So we suggested, and a little bit in Drush, that maybe what the story was almost as follows. That Tudus Yisro was the head of the Jewish community in Rome. We know the Jews in Rome were very, very downtrodden. Many of the Jews in Rome were actually brought there as slaves originally to the Romans, and then they were redeemed by their other brethren, some of the Jews who made a little bit of money in Rome. So we know that the Jewish community in Rome was in a very, very precarious situation. They were separate and distinct from everybody else. They weren't they were far from Eretz Yisrael. They were already in Golos. They were living in the middle of the center of the hub of the Goyisha, you know, society of the Roman Empire. They were lived across the street from the gladiators. It was not exactly the most best position to be in. And no doubt, they had a lot of Mesiris Nefesh. No doubt that those Jews remained loyal to tradition in Rome. The Gemara says that Rav Masih ben Choresh had a yeshiva in Rome. One of the Tanoim was the what Torah that was learning going on in Rome. But it clearly wasn't the same as being in the heart and soul of Eretz Yisrael. Even in Bavel, it was a very, 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 very precarious situation. So maybe Tudus was trying to give a little bit of chizuk to his downtrodden Jews. He was trying to make them feel as close as they could to Eretz Yisrael, make them feel as close as they could to the Beis HaMikdash. Here they were on the outskirts of the Jewish community. They were so far away from Mikdash and Kavanos, so he wanted to uplift them a little bit, elevate them, give them some chizuk on Pesach night, and say that it's ke'ilu we're eating a Korban Pesach. We're also part of, we're also Negolim. Tonight is really important for us also. So the Chacham said it's a very nice idea, but it's too risky, it's too dangerous, therefore you have to stop doing it. But the Ikaron, his Ashkaf was right, that the Bnei Rome, Taka, needed a little bit of extra chizuk on Pesach night. And maybe that's why he gave them the message of Chananim Yishrov Azariah. Chananim Yishrov Azariah was from the first generation of Golos, of Churban. They were the ones who were taken out of Eretz Yisrael as young boys. They were thrown into the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. They were being raised in the middle of the height of the Babylonian Empire. So they were role models for the Jews in Rome. They were experiencing similar kinds of things. They were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. They were in the heart and soul. It was Goyisha, part of civilization. And they had so many challenges. And Chananim Yishrov Azariah were Moisei Nefesh. And they threw themselves into the fire. And they withstood the tests and the trials and tribulations of being in Gullah. So he was trying to be the Chazik, his co-religionists, by saying to them that these are the role models of who you have. So maybe that was the Tudus Yishromi, the whole Mahalach HaChayim, to try to give a little bit of a chizuk to the Bnei of Rome. Anyway, but whatever the case may be, maybe not. Back to that story. So during Shulchan Aruch, there are some things we have to be careful about. Some other things to be careful about during Shulchan Aruch, folks would say not to get too full during the meal. You should have a nice yontif meal, give you a bosa, whatever, you have a beautiful yontif meal, but don't get stuffed to the gills. If you get stuffed to the gills, then you're not going to be able to eat the afikomen in the right way. You may end up eating the afikomen achila gasa. So we spoke about this earlier in the year also. There's a din of achila gasa, the stewards in Gemara. One Gemara says that if you eat something in derech achila gasa, that's not called an achila. Another place in the Gemara says it is called an achila. So what's the answer to the question? So Ben Atam is a brisk Gemara. Shnei achila gasa same. Ben Atam says there's achila gasa. There's achila gasa where, I ate a lot. I was at the marina, so I did my time with the shmur. And then I ate at the main dish, and now the dessert's out, and I don't have that much room. But I find a little bit of extra room for that, so it's a little bit gasa. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, but it's still a shtickel achila gasa. So that's one kind of achila gasa. Rabbi Tam says you would be yaitse. If you ate your Korban Pesach in that state of achila gasa, you would be yaitse. So you have another chilagasa. The guy is mamish sick to his stomach, but he had six hot dogs already. He's mamish, the guy is just, he's going to throw up. So he puts another food into his mouth. He's mamish nauseous. So that kind of a chilagasa, it's katz of mizayin. Rabbi Natan says, it's not even called an achila. So you wouldn't even be yaitse. Achim is coming Pesach if you ate that way. So the Pesach can say that your mamish is so, so stuffed that you get to the afikoman and your mamish, because you put the matzah into your mouth, so shalom with the yaitse altogether. So therefore, you should try to be a chacham and a bereisha. Anyway, you ate so much matzah and maror, you're stuffed to the gills anyway, so just eat a little bit. Have a, you can eat your meal, enjoy it as soon as Yom Tov, with Yom Tov, but don't overdo it. Just leave a little room for dessert, a little room for, not for real dessert, leave a little room for your afikoman.
The motion is
I said, okay, right. So my shit, message, big appetite, okay, so, okay, anyway.
Because you probably
call
one, because
ice
is enough.
Me'ikra, then probably one is enough. There are some who have a chumra that if it's zecha korban Pesach, so you want to make a zecha to the matz that was decha with the korban Pesach. So some are makbaran too. But those who are makbaran too, they can have very, very small kazaisim for that. So if you eat anything that resembles, by a long shot, what it says in one of these charts, you probably have six kazaisim in there, so you're probably good to go anyway. Okay, so we got the Korech, Shulchan, Orech, Tzofon. Okay, we're up to Afikomen. So Afikomen is the Gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim. Says that Tzoch Lechol Kezayis Matzah Becharena, at the end of the meal, so you have to have a piece of matzah, Bizman Hazeh. So why is that? So we had a big machlekes earlier this year between the Rashbam and the Rosh, what the goal of Echilas Afikomen is. So the Rashbam says that Echilas Afikomen is basically the mitzvah Echilas Matzah. Matzah was really supposed to be eaten at the end of the meal, like the Korban Pesach to eat at the end of the meal. The only thing is that we have to wash. What do you wash on challah? Pizza, what are you going to wash on at the beginning of the meal? You have to wash on matzah. So you take a little piece of matzah at the beginning. So why do you make a bracha at the beginning? So we spoke about this also. The achas should be the kreisa. Once you're eating the matzah, you have no choice. You have to make a bracha. But according to the Rashbam, you're not really yaitz. The real mitzvah is actually al shem seifo. It's the afikomen, that's the real mitzvah. And the Rosh says it's benafich. The Rosh says that, of course, the first kezayis is the mitzvah. So that's you making the bracha. So rather, that's be'avtach l'matzos. So what's going on at the end of the meal? Why are you eating another kedayis? So the Rosh says, nah, that's a zeich l'korban Pesach. That's a mitzvah b'derabanan b'manazeh al zeich l'korban Pesach. So no matter how you slice it, everyone agrees you're eating at the beginning. Everyone agrees you're eating at the end. It's just not clear which is the real mitzvah. According to Rashbam, the first is not so important. The end is the really important one. According to the Rosh, the first is much more important. Yeah, it's not as important. So we try to cover ourselves on all bases. We take both seriously, and we try to eat both kedas v'din. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a big question about the size of kedasim as manazeh. The Beit Yehuda did a lot of experimentation with kedasim and came up with a discrepancy. And he came up with this theory that our eggs are smaller than they were bizman chazal. And therefore, what we think is a kezayis, everything is smaller, because kezayisim are a ratio to kebetzes. So the idea that eggs have changed size over the years is not such a novel concept. If you Google size of eggs over the years, you'll notice that eggs change based on different things. But depending on how well the chickens are fed, depending on the climate, depending on a lot of things, so chickens, hens will produce different sizes of eggs. So it's entirely possible that at different times in history, their eggs were a little bit different sizes. So they viewed it as a chiddush that it was such a discrepancy. It was a tremendous discrepancy. Probably twice as much. I didn't read the article too long about history of size of eggs. I mean, it's hard to believe why anyone except for, like, Bnei Torah would be interested in that topic, but there are people who get the PhDs on this topic about the size of eggs in the 1700s and chickens. And people study every piece of nonsensical trivia that could possibly exist under the sun, and then so. But for us, it's always just a click away to anything you want to know, as we know. Maybe we should go back to Shlomo Zalman's model of normal technology. We'd actually learn something instead of reading ridiculous articles about caper bushes and how to get from Pontigia to somewhere else in France to figure out one politician's visited the other. But if those were the guys who didn't share this year, know what I'm referring to. So back to our story for everyone else. So the Nevi Yehuda had this tremendous chiddush that the size of kezayis were radically different than they were as Ban Chazal. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you go with that idea, you have to double everything. So Mishnah Berurah has a pshara. A lot of Acharim didn't think that Rabbi this Cheshbon was right. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Lagabi Derai says you should try to be Machmir, have the bigger Kazayisim. Lagabi Derabonis, you could be Mekel. So we eat matzah three times during the Seder. We have the first Kazayis of Kerich, we have Afikomen. So which of these is the Shavu Derai? So Kerich is for sure Derabonis. So that the Mishnah Berurah says you can have the smaller share. the first kezayis, maybe the raisa, the last kezayis, maybe the raisa. We're not sure which is the real kezayis, the raisa. That's where the practice became that many people are, or many posts came right, that if you're able to, so you go for the bigger kezayis for number one, for number three. Number two, the karech, you can go with the smaller kezayis. But if you go with this mishnah berurah that you have, others disagree with the whole Nagudas. The whole thing is not true. But if you go with this mishnah berurah who's willing to meet the Nagudas halfway, at least the Gavi de Raisas, so then you'll try to have a little bit of a big kezayis for number one, a little bit of a big kezayis number three, and for the Karech, you'll cut down a little bit on the kezayis. So again, it's different opinions in the Rishonim, where the real mitzvah of Achilas Matz is going to be performed. I think most assume that's the first kezayis. Yeah, that's what our mindset is usually like that. We usually think we ate that first kezayis, we're good to go. We hope we'll remember the Daf Yomi later, but you know, we usually have mindset is that the first kezayis, that's the real McCoy. That's the Shittas HaRosh. It seems to be, I think, probably more later post we adopted that. Okay, so tomorrow we'll hopefully have finish up a little bit. Maybe tomorrow we'll have shir early, okay? Anyone's around tomorrow still? Just a show of hands. Still around? Okay. So maybe tomorrow we'll have shir early, maybe around 12-ish or so, give or take. Okay, well, okay. It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That was Bashar. I told my wife I have to come in tomorrow. She said, no, you're not coming in. I said, well, if I come in and leave early, she said, okay, maybe. So if I don't lose that, I won't.